welcome to It's All Chaos, a podcast about two best friends who are navigating the ups and downs of working full-time,
running their own businesses,
blending families,
and taking on Nana duties.
Join us for our Becoming Sister Wives book club and Sister Wives rewatch.
And the challenging day-to-day events that just prove that every day, all day,
it's all chaos.
Welcome to episode 21 of the It's All Chaos podcast. I'm Tracy.
And I'm Jill.
And I'm Alex.
Yay!
All right, we're starting the rewatch episodes, or the rewatch, yes, the rewatch episodes of the episodes. Does that make sense? It's our podcast episode of episodes.
Right.
So we're going to start off with
Season one, episode one.
Starting at the beginning, where it all began.
They first introduce us to the Brown family. And by they, I mean Cody introduces us to the Brown family.
Right, yeah, kind of. Because it is very like self-guided, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But just so you know where we're going, we have watched episode one, two, and three. We'll see if we get past episode one today.
One was longer.
Yeah, it was. And then like two and three were both like, I'm going to call them 30-minute episodes.
It
was like 22 minutes because of commercials. Yeah,
we had said, let's watch two episodes and then we'll talk podcasting about that. And then we're watching and I'm like,
it like rolled right into
three. Right
in the,
we're on four. Like, when did we watch three? And we thought maybe that our DVR.
No, it had rolled from the second episode into the third episode. And we were like, wait, but we're like, but that felt really short. And then we were like, what is going on? And so we realized the other episodes were only like 22 minutes.
It's not like now where you've got to drag it out into three parts sometimes.
Right. Yeah. So, no. Gosh, man, if we were talking about doing goodness, the look backs and talk backs, and we'll probably get to that soon too, just because it's fresh and we'll keep the new and the old and we'll just
and
keep
it's got
jumbling
the drama
all
we
the
love.
Information. That's right. Suck it up. But so this is kind of we can kind of go a little bit into the show. So like, I think we talked about our sister wives history, but am I the only one who watched kind of from the beginning?
No, we all watched it from the beginning.
We all did?
I think I might have come in at like episode three.
I watched it from the beginning.
And then I watched the other two because you know how they always would then reshow the old episodes right before the new
on
ones.
TLC.
On TLC.
Yeah.
So I think that's how I got, I had seen it coming on TV.
I was a big John and Kate plus eight watcher, and I'm for sure that like there was like overlap with the commercials for Sister Wives, and I was like, oh well, I need to start watching that too.
I don't even remember how I saw commercials for it. I watched other shows on TLC like Clean Sweep and whatever.
What year did it start?
2010.
Because I remember, you and I lived together. We probably watched it together.
I said I probably told you about it, and then you watched it. But I watched other things on TLC that I'm sure showed commercials for it.
I was just like,
and then I was like, wait,
was
polygamy? I have to watch this. I'm like, this sounds crazy.
That's right.
It sounds like great drama.
And I know we've seen it a million times, but I feel like the opening line of this show. So the show opens up, season one, episode one. The show opens up with Cody in his sports car, okay, which that sports car is iconic, and I'm guessing that there is somebody riding with him.
Is this the sports car?
It is the sports car,
like a producer, like a camera person.
Right. Are you going to tell the story about this sports
well,
car?
Well, not yet.
I mean, it's not my story. I mean, it's technically Ace and Caitlin's story.
No, but what we just found out.
But Alex doesn't know, though, right?
Yeah, I don't know the story.
Oh, it's just information we didn't know until right now, but I didn't know if it was this sports car from the opening.
Oh, yes. It is this sports car, which is why it was so iconic, right? Okay, so probably, I don't know, there's lots of awesome Sister Wives podcasts out there. Ace and Caitlin of Love Should Be Multiplied, Not Divided. Their podcast is super fun. It's just a warning if you guys don't listen to them already, but they're explicit.
They're colorful.
Very, very colorful. And I hear their Patreon is even more colorful and worth every penny if you pay for it. So, I mean, it's definitely something maybe in my consideration for future to join their Patreon, but I love listening to them. I love their takes. So I'm guessing that their Patreon is doing pretty well, especially if they are one of the biggest Sister Wives podcasts out there. I'm just assuming that that's where Ace got the money, but Ace has procured this sports car.
He got a hold of a real piece of Brown
Sister Wives history. That's right. Like, he's going to start his own.
Oh, wait. He owns the car now?
I'm sorry. I told your mom this the other day, but yes, I said we're telling you about it. So Ace from the podcast.
They live up north from us.
Yeah, they live in Flagstaff, or the Flagstaff area.
Okay.
Because they'll talk about, when you listen to the podcast, they'll be like, we've eaten at that Salsa Brava. I mean, it might be the only Salsa Brava. Or we've eaten at that Italian restaurant. So they know the things.
Well, I think we should do a road trip.
I think we should record a podcast.
At Salsa Brava. We should
go in and just say, can we sit at the table where the Browns family has come apart?
We need that back room.
That's right.
We need that back room off to the side through the door.
Yes.
So, oh my gosh,
we have talked about...
I cannot wait until we get to that.
Just talking to Jill that we need to have a weekend where the three of us just go and we like stream three episodes or whatever, and then record. Stream three more so that we've got no distractions around us. We all go somewhere. So maybe we do that, and then we take our dinner at Salsa Brava.
Right. It's a good idea. Like
I'm down.
You know, you were saying, like, we should just get a hotel, and I'm thinking somewhere here locally, like a staycation, but why can't we drive the 3 hours to Flagstaff?
I mean,
we're
all in Arizona, too.
Technically,
right? Go see if we can search out Coyote Pass and stand in front of a mountain and go,
I mean, we totally
could. Or the angels sing.
Well, okay.
Just Google it. Coyote Pass.
Right, yeah. So, we had to pause the recording earlier because you probably heard a little bit of kiddos in the background.
A banshee in the background. That's my baby.
A banshee in the bathroom. That was Maximus. Yeah. So, I'm not sure what we said already, so I'm not going to stop recording at this point. But if I didn't say it before, Ace and Caitlin from Love Should Be Multiplied, Not Divided podcast.
They have the
car. Ace has purchased Cody's convertible. Because, again, as we've seen from this season... He was giving it to Brian to sell, or they were giving it, you know, to, I don't know, consigning it, however they handle that. And so Ace went and found it. So apparently it still wasn't sold, because you got to think that episode of the show had to
like
be recorded.
Year ago.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was in some lots around or whatever, or you got to remember, it didn't fit in the truck, so how long did it take him to actually get it wherever it needed
to go? Yeah, maybe that's true. It didn't actually get moved in that episode.
Perhaps there was a way... He could search the brand. Like, if he had a dealer out looking, keeping an eye out for it,
maybe he had bought it and was waiting until...
Yeah, I don't know. We're not a part of the Patreon. Like I said, maybe someday I will be a part of that Patreon and we can get the whole full story. But I just think it is hilarious and amazing and everything all at the same time.
So funny.
That
he owns
this convertible. We haven't even technically started talking about the episode yet. But the opening shot is Cody in this convertible and...
I hope we got a good
deal. Sister Wives podcaster is so devoted and dedicated. It's awesome that he bought it.
I love that. I love that they're local to, like, kind of our area, too, since now they're here.
Yeah.
Because back when they probably started watching it, you know, they were living here like we were living here.
Right.
And they were living in Utah.
Right.
So it's kind of funny.
Yep.
So I also want to let you know that we will be keeping a cry count. So it's just basic. It's not like how many times it happens. Just did
yes or no.
Robin cry during the episode?
Yes or no.
Well, it didn't happen in this episode.
Yes, it did.
Robin wasn't in this episode.
In episode one, yes,
no.
She did.
No.
She cried.
No.
It showed it at the end. I don't even care if it was a preview for episode two, but there was crying of Robin that I saw while we watched this one. It might have been in a preview towards the end, but she was like, it was about her date or whatever, and she was standing in that hallway. She was so verklempt. She's like, I just love him.
Maybe it was a preview because I did not count it, but I have an episode two because I have first cry, second cry, and third cry in the first three episodes. So I have them clearly noted and documented.
Well, I counted that, but it showed it to me as part of episode one, whether it...
Yeah, like I said, it might have been a preview, but okay.
But if I had to see her face cry, it counted.
Right, so...
But he opened up in that... car. I wrote it down, so that must have been when in that opening scene that he said, I like marriage.
Well, okay, the first line of the show, which I was gonna say, I could quote you any day, every day, because I've probably shown it so much, that's why. But Cody directly, first line of the show, again, there's a producer or a
cameraman or something in the
riding
passenger seat.
Right, riding shotgun, and he says, I like marriage, I'm a repeat offender.
Mm-hmm.
In my faith, God rewards you, if you are a good husband with one wife, then he blesses you with more.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, good. I'm good with three marriages. I hope to be good with four. So they've put the little bit of bait out there in almost the first line of the show.
So he was blessed with these other two women who were sent to him by God to ask to be in the family. But now he didn't want them. They begged to be.
Well, and that's the thing. So something else that I'll comment on. So
again, if this is your first episode, we jump back and forth in the timeline.
We talk about it all forwards, backwards, inside and out, past, present, and future. This is us. My husband, Casey, Does not watch the show except when I force him to watch the show, or he's dinking on his phone and I put the show on in the background, right? Yep. So Casey knows enough. But because we were doing this, I wanted to refresh myself and make sure my notes were concise. So I rewatched episode one last night, or one, two, and three last night. And he watched it. I said, "You've never watched the first episode." He was like, "No." And I was like, "Well, here you go." And an entire episode with no Robin. And he's watching these three wives on the couch because, again, the first episode is they start to talk about the wives.
Right.
All three of them and Cody are sitting on the couch without Robin because she's not mm-hmm. yet in the picture.
Right.
And Casey, my husband, is like, listen to them laugh together. I don't think I've ever heard that. You know, I look at them all joking. I don't think I've ever seen that because, he only started
the last couple
watching
years.
And listening. Since me and him have been together in the last 2.5-3 years.
But everything super has already been going back.
Right? And things have already been...
Post-COVID, everything's straight.
So
way
I kind of wrote under that that...
So yeah, let's...
At this point, Christine is pregnant with Truly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When it's kind of opening up. All of them are living in one house. Yep. Or as my favorite podcast that I listen to right now from the Sister Wives, because it's the one I've listened to the most... it says the Biggie Housie. They had, but it was a little housie.
But they call it the Big House.
Right. So they all lived in one house, three separate areas. And that's Surviving Sister Wives. I want to shout out when they coined that phrase. I mean, they don't know housings, but
there's things we listen to the podcast so much that it comes, you know what I mean? Like those
terms. That's what you call it now.
Right. Like the Shira Chateau.
Right.
Yeah.
All one house. But three distinct separate areas, and all space in that home belonged to a wife. There was no everyone space. There was no just Cody space.
Yep.
When he was in a space, he was in his home with a wife.
Right.
He was in that home with his, their home together, basically, is how it was broken up.
So Janelle says to us, one house, three living quarters connected yet separate. Which I like that description, that it was connected yet separate.
Because they were connected from the inside. You just had to go, go through somebody else's house to get to somebody else's house.
Right.
But like they
were
all
outside.
Or you went outside. But you were all connected to where you could get there.
Cody.
But they definitely were separate spaces.
Cody could easily get to all the places.
Yes. Correct. And definitely that's what I want to say in the very first. So you've got Cody in the car in the opening scene. He gets home. Let's introduce you to my family, right? So he's walking in and he sees Mary. Hey, honey, there's Mariah. Okay, we go down the stairs. Oh, there's Christine. Let's introduce you to Truly. This is going to be number 13 in the belly.
Right.
And then, you know, he's walking around and he's saying hi to the kids. The second he comes home, everybody gets a hello. Just like
and
a dad would do with multiple children at home.
Right.
Say hi to the wife, say hi to the kids. Like he comes home and that's the way it is. And these are all the things that I'm noting now that I'm seeing, which is why this rewatch is going to be so good. Again, with Cody's, there's nothing else you can call it but revisionist history. But you watch the way he interacts with all three of these women.
And I think this is
now.
Why we all were so enamored with the show. If it would have started off with him being the way he is now, we would have been like, why would you put this abusive show on TV?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
They kind of go in and the kids are all like in the kitchen and they're talking. And I think it was Christine that was there and Janelle maybe. And they start talking about how we're known as pligs. And we're the pliglets.
Yep.
The kids were funny.
When they say that, I'm like, the pliglets. I was like, I've never heard, I don't ever remember hearing that before. But, you know, it's just so funny that it's like a term that I would think other people outside of the community would maybe throw at them. But they have owned it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe if it's an
internet.
Maybe
it's a lot of it. I mean.
It's a lot of owning it, for
right.
sure.
One of the kids says, I don't remember who. I think it might have been Aspen, but she says that's plague talk. And Cody clarifies and says, yeah, she's got a mouthful of food, but that's plague talk. So there's a lot of, you know, plague meals. And then Janelle kind of follows up with that. That's a polygamous thing. It's a plague meal. And Cody's funny line, which I always thought was funny. This is a brother from another mother, but this is a sister from the same mister.
Yeah,
right. And again, it's all like cute little jokes that they have in their community because they're comfortable with themselves. They're comfortable with their family.
And they're happy with their family.
And everybody
and they're
is,
proud
yeah,
of it.
Everybody is happy.
That's very interesting. And he did say, cause they asked, there must've been a question asked about the kids. Do you want your kids to grow up and be polygamous at this, you know, when they were talking kind of about them all being pligs. And he said he believes in marrying for love,
yep.
when he was talking about what he hoped for the kids. As long as he says, I hope
our kids marry for love. Right.
And which, again, implies that he married these women for love. Well, and he made the comment,
I fell in love.
And then again. And then again. And then again. Which then, and then this is jumping ahead, but in the look back or the talk back or whatever, and then Mary says, and then out of love, and then out of love again, and then out of love again, as like a dig at them watching that first episode again, which I thought was funny.
That Mary, when they were talking about polygamous and then having their separate houses, Mary throws out, we don't go weird.
Yeah.
Well, the whole family went...
Oh, yeah. Because she's talking about the bedroom.
I know. But it made me giggle because she's like, we don't go weird. And I'm like, oh, wait.
She says that many times, though. That's a running line for the show.
I said, you're just in the first episode here, Mary. We know what happens.
We know about your weird.
Things get a little weird. But Cody notes that they all rotate on a schedule. Mm-hmm. And then Cody even says, I started keeping a schedule. It shows him kind of scrolling in his phone. That way, no wife could say, I was playing favorites with another.
Or he would forget where he's supposed to be or whatever.
So they say a good relationship with all wives benefits all the wives. And we also see comments like maybe we didn't break it all out. I still got a lot of notes. But like Janelle says, I don't have to worry about cooking dinner because Christine's home and she's going to cook dinner. Mm-hmm. They note that they have dinner as a family around three times a week on average. So no matter whose night it is, no matter which bedroom he's going to go sleep in, they still have dinner as a family, which means they're all together. All these kids, they grew up together. They don't know anything different.
And it said that they always got together every night before bed and prayed together as one entire family, regardless of where
everyone was. I wrote that down too. And, you know, again, in a current episode, I can't remember the last time we all prayed together.
That
fell off, that died. And I understand that, again, in one house, that made it easy.
They talked about how one of the benefits of this way that they were raising their kids and the family and everything was that should, God forbid, anything happen to one of those moms, there were two other moms that would step up and the kids aren't losing all the motherly figures in their life. There are people there that they knew and trusted would carry on and treat their children.
And raise their children.
Again, the way they wanted. Exactly.
Well, I mean, none of the kids showed up until all three, at this point in time.
Yep, I jotted down somewhere too.
Technically four adults were a unit, and then the kids showed up.
There were no kids born when Christine joined the family.
Right, and so so they had all been parents to them. Right.
But yes, not one kid knows anything different.
Right. And so they had all been raised in a where all three of them
they
really
three moms
were their
from
moms.
The beginning. Yes,
they
yes.
really were. Right. Even though they knew like this, my biological mom, but they all saw them as moms
because they
the
were
whole
there
time.
From the minute they were all born.
The whole
right.
time. Yeah,
exactly.
Yep, for sure. And along that line too, Christine says was talking about Savannah because she. It sounded like they homeschooled the kids for a while, but then they started sending them to a polygamous specific private school. But I still think that Christine worked like kind of preschool type things with the kids that were there because she was helping Savannah with her letters and she was spelling her name in flower in her hand, and that was nice. And she said, you know, I've been here since Savannah is born, and if anybody would come to me and say that's not your kid, I'll fight him to the death because that is my kid.
Is that
like I can't say anything different?
And I think that she feels
she was
that same way.
Toast.
You know, yes, in the oven because her toaster didn't work.
Which I did think was funny that they had a flashback to that in the most recent
And then she talked about her sister bought her a toaster.
Because her sister said she was ridiculous. And
after the very first episode, she sent her a toaster. But this is just, you know, kind of anecdotal that happened in the episode. But Mary is the tooth puller of the family.
Yeah.
In the episode, there were two kids, Peyton and Gwendolyn, who both had loose teeth. And, you know, we start with Peyton's getting her tooth pulled. And Gwen's very hesitant about it. It'll hurt. She offers her an extra dollar if she'll let her pull it. And eventually she makes a decision and has it done. The reason I thought that that was important to bring up, though, even though it's kind of anecdotal to the situation, is that I feel like this is showing us, and I understand that there are cameras around, but this is a real life moment. This isn't 100%. Sitting on the couch. It isn't fabricated because I know a lot of people think
like the kids,
today,
the kids tooth was going to fall out.
You know, like you said, it wasn't fabricated or like,
it's not something they could have planned.
I mean, they could have said, let's pull teeth on camera. Like, hey, do you want your tooth pulled? Like, let's do it on camera. But the what I saw is that Mary cared for these kids.
Yeah.
That these kids cared for Mary. And again, I know that there's still a lot of
revisionists.
Even though
she only had one herself.
Right.
She was still
had a lot of involvement when they were younger, where sometimes I think when they once they talk about houses. It, they make it sound like Mary went to her house, didn't want anybody in her house, didn't interact right. much
There's
with them
a lot
at all.
Of,
it's very weird.
We saw again, a lot of people in Mary's house in that first episode.
But Mary, yeah. very much like Cody, this is another way they're very same. They are both drawn to the kids. The little kids, and
yes.
I get that about them because I love children. Once they get to about like 9 months and up to, I don't know where, we'll see where,
yeah.
you know, it is, but they well, say 32. Funny things. They oh. say 32? Funny things. Yeah, 32. My daughter's 32. so they say funny things and they do funny things, but there's this like really cool age when they're little.
Yeah,
that
it's fun.
They just make up stories and they're just silly. And I love that age. It is
yeah.
the best time ever.
Yeah. But again, I think there's a lot of revisionist history going on, not even just from Cody, but from the rest of the family. I know we've heard a lot from McKelty about mm-hmm. how she felt like Mary was abusive. And there hasn't been a lot of real strong explanations
of
what that,
that somewhere in the show.
The only thing we see
we
is
saw
there,
Robin kick the dog.
Right? Well, yes.
We're not there yet.
I'm just
not
saying,
there yet.
I've
yeah.
seen what I don't like there.
Right. There is an episode, I'm trying to remember when it was. I want to say they were on a road
seen what
trip. But there is an episode where they were all kind of outside of a restaurant. They were either just about to go into a restaurant or they were all coming out of a restaurant. And all the kids were kind of together. And there was some picking on Aurora or Brianna or Dayton. It was one of Robin's kids that there was some picking on. And Mary really kind of jumped
I
into their
that.
Butt about it. Like, we're family. We treat all each other kind. Like,
that.
And then she kind of said, I, you know, and
well,
a lot of people said, oh,
I
she didn't
like
know
she
the cameras were going to come around the corner. They didn't know that they
but
were recording.
Anyone,
but
any parent should have been doing something.
But
like
see,
no
I
matter what
I would have done the exact same. Right. And people are like, we saw Mary's anger right there or whatever. But I'm like, okay.
She was
like,
being a parent
and
telling
she was
them
also
this is how
trying to
people.
Correct them outside of the view of other people.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah. Whether it got caught on camera or not, she was trying not to make a scene in the restaurant, outside the
right.
or whatever
to
she
embarrass
was doing.
The kids,
which I think
she's
is
saying,
appropriate.
Hey, this
right.
is not acceptable.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, because she does make the comment, I believe, and we'll get to
and
that episode eventually, but she's like, come on, moms, back me up. Like
of
she was
the,
looking for somebody
yeah.
to
of the other moms,
yeah.
I feel like they left disciplinary to Mary
very
to,
well could
to
be.
Keep things in line.
Yeah.
Because they have mentioned in different situations that Mary actually kept a lot of things running.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When it came to the family thing. Like, Christine was in charge of fun. We know that.
Yeah.
Janelle was very
financial.
Finance-oriented
yeah.
and kept making sure that
yep.
all of that was
Mary
running.
Mary was very
think,
organized.
Yes.
I think
things.
Mary kept the family
right.
just overarching.
Right. And I'm going to say right. this, everybody okay. plays their role, and it's really easy to have bitter feelings
right.
towards the one
is
who
it any
does that.
Different than
right.
a mom saying, wait till your dad gets home, and then the dad gets to be the bad guy.
Well, right, and I was actually just going to say that, because obviously with my many with my many stepkids, but we're seeing
but
different
things,
though. But
you do not have
though.
A problem disciplining. You discipline on the spot as well.
Well,
and
yeah,
say, I'm going to tell
but, but they're always more afraid of dad.
Yeah, if there's something
and
that they're
dad's
not listening,
say, oh,
or yeah,
that's
if
because
you
they are more concerned that he will be disappointed in them, and kind. Of, so I think that's what it is.
I'm just saying,
but that's great. But I mean, I hope that they never grow out of that because, again, I'm not just talk trash about my own stepkids, but they don't care what anybody's opinion is of them.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, there is no. It is very hard to discipline
oh,
because they. There's no disappointment. There's no. I'm disappointed in you, or you made me feel bad. They don't care how they made me feel. They only care about how they feel in the moment. And again, I look at Mary, and I would handle things like in that situation we were talking about the same way. And I
very
know that. Again, they have their own mom, who handles things completely different and has handle things differently than I would have if these were my kids from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this stuff I would have squashed a long time ago, but
right.
that for whatever reason is acceptable over there, and that's where I'm trying to find a balance of that behavior is something I don't find acceptable
mm-hmm.
in my home, but when they're only with me 50% of the time, how do you really encourage or
right.
even
right.
force change?
Mm-hmm.
You know, on some level you can't, and do I just let it go? I that's something that I constantly
yeah.
battle with. But so looking back again, thinking about, you know, but rounding it back to where we were, I don't see the kids scared of Mary. I don't see the kids
you
running
didn't see
away
him
from
cower
her.
In fear
no,
or,
no,
or turning down.
No,
nope.
right. Like they like she
and
was
even Mary made a funny comment
abusive.
Because Gwen didn't want her tooth pulled at first, and Mary's like, "Let's go pin her down and get her tooth." Like,
and then the kids
silly.
Are like, "Yeah, let's do it."
Right. And again, if
right.
that was somebody that you were not
then you would not be like
comfortable with, or that you weren't having fun with, or that
you wouldn't joke around about that specifically. Right. Right. If that was a fear you really had.
Right. So, my next comment says that Mary was a force encouraging the plural family. And again, let's look back. Okay.
And I think she very much did, which is why,
cause she talked about this stuff happened with her sister.
Robin came in. I'm just,
well, Mary was raised in the polygamous culture. Cody converted because his parents converted. He did, you know, we're reading the book. We know that he fully examined the faith and made the decision about the faith before he made the decision about Mary.
Right.
And once he made the decision that, yes, this faith is for me, then he moved on Mary because he knew that Mary was in the faith and Mary wanted to participate in that continued faith and the plural aspect of it. Because they do say that not everybody who is FLDS goes practices on to get multiple wives.
Right.
It's a calling. You have to, they know it's going to be difficult. They know there's going to be bumps. It's a calling. So I do find it interesting that, again, this is all looking forward, looking back. Right now, Cody is a monogamist with Robin, and he's got not a lot of good things to say. But looking back at the first episode, I think Cody would have been happy to just be with Mary his whole life. It took them 3 years to take on Janelle. When they're making the comment that Mary was a force in encouraging plural marriage, I think that's because even in those 3 years, we have to keep looking for wife number two. We have to keep looking for wife number two. She's committed to that.
Heavy revisionist history that he has. He talks like he never wanted to be married to Mary at all. Like this was some like super chore he was stuck with. And you're like,
almost like he was, it was like an arranged marriage in the plural culture.
Maybe he should read his book.
If you listen to our, if you listen.
Maybe he should read the book.
I would pay for that Patreon.
Listen to our episodes where we recap the book at the beginning. You'll know that that is not how he talked. That's not what people around them saw.
In one of these look back talk backs, which we'll get to those, but he makes the comment, I had to bring in Janelle because I was just getting so tired and agitated with Mary. I had to dilute it somehow, which is why we brought in Janelle. Now, we covered the Janelle part a couple weeks ago where Janelle says,
it was
Cody and Robin were lovey-dovey on the couch.
Mary.
And here I was. Cody and Mary. Yeah, we know what it is now. Cody and Mary were all lovey-dovey holding hands under a blanket on the couch. And here's Janelle sitting
and
in the chair by herself.
And she felt like a third wheel.
Absolutely, she
family.
Did.
Yeah.
So again, the revisionist Cody, who hasn't read his own book recently.
Right.
Unless the book is a farce. But the revisionist Cody says,
but all three ladies are saying things exactly the way that the book is.
Right.
I mean, we haven't got to where Robin's joining in, but the three chapters of the Mary, Cody, Janelle, Cody, Christine, Cody.
Yeah.
They are sticking to that same
exact and they're kind of saying similar things to each other, too.
Yeah. And they're saying, and even though they're not speaking to each other now in those those look backs, they're saying the exact same things about one another. The three of them are not bashing each other. They say, you know what? We probably won't hang out with Mary. We probably won't do this. But they're like, Mary did so good at this. Mary did. I mean, they're complimentary of each other. They're appreciative of what happened.
Right.
And they don't have these attacks. They are happy that Mary has moved on and is going to go out. And they're like, I hope she finds all sorts of happiness.
You know? And then Mary's talked about how she used to have such a good relationship with Christine and they had a lot of fun together. And so she's sad that they don't have that, but she's happy that they have those memories. And like,
and she's
they're not saying
for
like,
Christine
she's
getting married.
She's the most awful, terrible person, blah, blah, blah.
And
like,
she she knows that Leon went to the wedding.
Yeah.
And she's fine about that too.
Right.
And she's
like,
I didn't expect to go.
Right. I didn't expect to be invited because I'm not at that point.
I think, again, look backs, talk backs, we'll get to that. But they show the scene where Robin and Christine at that one picnic where they were like picking a Ramada for the picnic. And then like Robin's like, Mary says, I think we should go check out that Ramada over there. And Christine's all, if you do, I will tackle you to the ground.
And then
you know,
she
the
did.
Two of them, and I think Mary is looking at that video going, I chose the wrong side.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and I think she does even say at one point, like at the time, when like even when she was watching that knife in the kidney fight,
I don't think she realizes how underhanded things were going on behind the scenes.
Right.
I think she watches that back now. And she, like I said, she said it to,
you
correct
know
me if I'm wrong, but
if
she
I was
said,
wrong, I would feel catfished by Robin.
I was still, well,
because she presented and was feeding her things that were not true to benefit herself and to benefit her situation.
Well, that's true. And because now, definitely financially the family has to benefit from Mary being around because she's probably still with Lou LaRoe and everything else got to be
there. We're
going
to see now that Cody and Robin, it's only just them two.
Yeah.
Who do they have as a scapegoat anymore?
Right.
As we go into new seasons?
And that's why their relationship now is probably suffering right now. And gosh, I've heard that too. I don't know where. I've read it on Reddit. I've heard it on podcasts that poor Aurora is going to be... You know, or Brianna, so one of them is gonna end up being the next one because Cody's got a, you know, his whole new like patriarchy, his whole, you know, yeah. So, but yeah, it's an interesting thought. If Mary would not have been so aggressive about getting more wives, mm-hmm. if they never would have been a plural family. So,
right.
Oh, here, we talked about this earlier, but, you know, if Mary's sister passed away and she had a sister wife to take care of her kids, and so Mary feels like, you know, she's got two moms to take over if something were to happen to her.
Right,
and,
right.
And that was obviously, that, at that, that point, there's no question. And again, we're going front to back.
Mm-hmm.
If something tragic were to happen to, let's just say Christine, because she's got the youngest child minus Robin. If something tragic were to happen to Christine, well, now Christine's married to David and...
But
you
know, before that.
But the thing is truly, technically, because again, the way divorce works and whatever, and there was never a divorce, but Cody is listed as the legal father. I don't know if they've ever drawn up any paperwork or anything else,
yeah.
But truly would go back to Cody.
Right.
And then all of a sudden truly be living with Cody and Robin, and how would that be? And is Robin...
Be like Cinderella.
Instantly, it could be. It could be. It's funny you said Cinderella, because again, there was an episode recently where Truly went to visit Cody, and what was Cody and Truly doing in the episode? Shoveling snow.
Oh, mm-hmm. Is that where... Remember,
bring Truly over so she can shovel our driveway.
They didn't have pajamas or anything for her. They just had a big t-shirt for her to wear.
They offered that to her. Did you bring pajamas? And she's like, no, I wasn't sure I was going to stay. You know, I think they wanted her to stay, right? Yeah. I think they wanted her to stay. I think Truly was not sure she was comfortable staying. So she didn't bring it, so she didn't have to stay. And then Cody's like, well, I could always give you a big t-shirt or something, so... But, Janelle says, you get out of a relationship what you put into it, which I think again is so telling for where they are now.
And in the beginning, they all were putting in so much and putting in a lot of equal
effort
everywhere, in different areas, but like it was not necessarily
everybody
equal,
worked
but
hard
it was equitable
to make it all function.
Right. But they were, remember, they were dysfunctional and they just made it look like whatever. And then I love Christine when she was like, I think that's BS. She's like, because we all tried hard, and that's why it looked like it was working, because we were all trying hard.
At this point, when we're moving into the courtship announcement,
yeah,
I thought it was funny that Janelle said, it's getting kind of boring, when she was talking about the starting to court Robbins.
Yep.
It was getting kind of boring, so why not do it? And she said it in kind of a joking manner.
Of course.
But that means that things were... level and even keeled,
which is then when Christine said in that episode, she was like, no, you guys are crazy, shut up, everything's fine,
right? But it took about 7 or 8 years, which you got to think 7 or 8 years, and I don't know if that's from Christine coming in or if that's
from when
Mary started, right? But if it was from when Christine came in, then you're talking about a 7-year-old Logan, right? So it took about seven years for things to level out.
Maybe since Christine came in because her kids, her older kids were, I think, older
but
than
Mary does admit
four.
That there was jealousy at the time when they started courting Robin, that there was already jealousy.
It's funny that Mary is the one who again pushed and said go after
but
Robin.
I don't think Mary
but then
was
all
the
of
jealous
a sudden
one.
She's
I think she's
oh,
saying
no,
there
no,
was
no, I think she was. I think it was Mary because
you think she was jealous of Christine?
No, I think they were talking about Robin because I think all this came about as they were talking about bringing on Robin and. Mary is very like verklempt, like almost like about to cry because she's like, I know jealousy is something that I need to work on. And again, I think looking at the women, not to be superficial,
but she so believed in the faith.
I think Mary was the trophy wife until Robin came into the picture. So
I would say looking back at their early years, I would agree with that.
And I think that Mary got replaced in every single way by Robin coming in. And Mary's
first.
The one who...
She got replaced first.
She definitely was replaced first. Because again, if Mary was the trophy wife, even though she didn't have all the kids...
Do you think
that was still...
That part of bringing Robin is was she thought she would find favor from Cody?
Oh, I think all of them always, in a way, wanted favor from Cody. I think...
I'm wondering, do you think that act of being what finding Robin and bringing her in, that she thought, oh,
I think it's
Mary,
a little bit of that,
you.
But they talk about
exalting
it.
Exalting you a little.
They talked about it in the book, but I believe we've covered it already. But I also think that Mary was looking for an ally, because I think the fact that she only had one kid kind of left her out a little bit, because Janelle and Christine are so heavily involved with all of their 12 children or 11.
Right, and the younger
Julie
children, because her kid is one of the older ones.
Right, exactly.
So then it's like now she's not involved in the younger kids.
Right, exactly, and she doesn't necessarily need to be there. Mariah Leon is handling her own at that point in time. She's
teenager.
Old enough to get herself ready and, you know,
right.
yeah,
she's
maybe
busy,
Mary, yeah.
And busy hanging out with the other
she'd
older
be a teenager
sibling.
Exactly. And but she doesn't need as much care, so it's not like you need to worry about, hey, make sure that you're doing this with her or that with
her.
So I wonder if she was feeling a bit left out of the sister wife relationship, and then they met Robin, and maybe Cody took a fashion to Robin, so then Mary encouraged the relationship with Robin,
from the
thinking
fact
that
she was
they
not
could.
She did not have other children. That she started being kind of, or feeling left out of the process.
Right.
But I also wonder with her only having one kid and then bringing in Robin, who's already had three kids, if maybe she thought, hey, she's not going to have kids with Cody. No, you never thought that.
She was still pretty young.
Well, she had these three other kids already. So
at this point in time, remember the first few seasons, and you guys haven't watched it back in a long time, but
Mary's still talking about having another.
They are still talking about IVF and do we have another
kid? Janelle is the only one that has said immediately she's done. And then Christine's hinted at.
Right, because she's like, ask us in 3 years, but the thing is she wanted another boy. If Truly was a boy, I think Christine would have been ready to absolutely stop, because that was six. But she had two girls, a boy, Peyton, and then two girls. So that's why, and then a girl.
I guess that is true.
Right?
Mary has been talking about IVF.
So, and the thing is that the two of them could have been pregnant together. They could have raised kids together. They could have had that relationship together.
So she could have had Christine were having.
Exactly,
because
they were done with their kids, and
that
their kids were still moving on, so they're still doing that together. But
she could have
started over with Robin there. Also, thinking ahead to future episodes, like I remember when Solomon was coming, and maybe even when Ariella was coming, Mary had like set up a place in her house for Solomon to have a few things, and you know, he's gonna come over here. And again, I think about the fact that Robin has always had a nanny, Robin has always had some sort of help, whether it be, you know, her cousin or her niece or whoever it was that was helping for a time. She's always had help. Why is it that Robin in her or Mary in her loneliness was even though
not invited
into
the
like, why wasn't she the help?
Because they portrayed them as such besties.
Mm-hmm.
And
like,
I understand why Janelle and Christine weren't, because I think at that point they were doing
being
other
shown
things. I mean, Janelle's
not
working. She was still working full time. And so that was the thing. And I think Christine was used to get kids to and from school, to this and the activity. I think she was still doing the stay-at-home mom stuff.
Right. Yep.
While Janelle was doing the working mom.
Right.
Stuff.
But the thing is Robin should have been able to come into the family.
I still don't understand why she needs the help that she needs.
No, I don't either.
It's somebody to organize all the tchotchkes.
Well, the thing is, it's like you have the help.
Her Dickensian village.
You have this help, but it's like, but in your plural family, you have built-in help. Like,
and that's
isn't that
the
point of the plural family?
That's all we hear about. Okay, again, now let's say Christine had Truly within, I don't know what the timeline is, we can look it up, but let's just say 18 months. Truly could have been no more than 18 months when Solomon was born.
Yeah, they were little together.
Okay, so they absolutely were little together. And you hear Cody all the time talk about his tenders, and I have to take care of these tender children, these tender-age children.
All I can think is
right?
these chicken
tenders.
Tenders laying in a box.
They're these little
that
nuggies.
Can't do anything, and you're like, I'm going to eat you, chicken tender. I'm going to eat you.
Yeah.
Eat my
baby.
It is a creepy way to talk about your kids.
Well, I understand that the terminology, you've got your tender age children, you got your children who are able to, you know, wipe their own butts, brush their own teeth, and potentially, you know, get off to school on their own. Like, I understand that there's a little more than that. But why did we never hear him say tender age children in reference to Truly? And I'm going to look back at that. As we rewatch, I want to know how involved he was with Truly or not involved with
Truly. It was about 18 months, because Truly was April of 2010 and Solomon was October of 2011.
October of 2011. So yeah, about 18 months. So that was right. So they were 18 months apart. But don't you remember, again, it's coming up in future seasons, where Truly is so sick because Christine is out of town with the wives, and Truly is so sick and she is so dehydrated that her kidney shut down and she almost died.
Nobody thought to make sure the kid was getting some beverages and then to take her to the doctor.
And you cannot blame poor Aspen. No. Who was the oldest daughter who was home with these kids and trying to take care of Truly. You cannot expect 17, I don't know how old she was then, 16, 17, 18.
You can't expect her to think about that.
You can't expect her to know.
To look for those things.
No. That, when I rewatch and I watch those episodes again,
As an adult, you often are looking at your kid going, are you getting dehydrated enough? And you're pulling on their skin to see how far fast it bounces back.
Well, and then when the thing too is like when he's looking back, like when the whole COVID thing's happening, he's like, well, I have these little kids at home and I have Ariella who had this respiratory thing or Solomon had this respiratory thing or whatever. But then you don't think about how that was
Truly almost died. Like, you're not worried about Truly or you're not. So, let's see where we are in our notes so you can try to get back on track. Christine makes a comment. I wanted the whole family, not just the guy. She talks about why she always wanted to be the third wife, which I think we covered in the book. She didn't want
to
be.
And again, they've stuck to this.
Yep.
Their stories don't change. It's
Cody's. Yeah.
Cody's that really changes. And then the kids, you know, with the Mary thing or whatever. Yeah. But sometimes you're like, did somebody tell you that? Did somebody give you some ideas that what the way she said things was too mean or too abusive? Yeah, because
they can be swayed to have these memories. Because, I mean, there's even psychological studies on that where you can... if it's suggested enough, like, you create fake memories.
Right. Of absolutely. But I'm thinking necessarily fake memories, but I'm thinking if somebody tells you enough... The way that they keep saying that to you, that they keep correcting you, that's me.
No, and I'm not that's saying hard. I'm not saying
in
their
situation. Way though, isn't that gaslighting that you just don't know the way it truly happened to begin with? But you know, it's you know, something I used to say about my ex-husband is that he told a lie so often that he actually believed it to be true.
Right.
Yeah.
And until you showed him pictures, I mean, I don't think that he would, you know, like. You know, that car was not blue, it was red. This is something totally stupid. But, you know, and then I will show you a picture of that car that I owned while we were dating. I'm telling you it was blue.
Yeah.
You know, and you show it to him and you're like,
And I'm not saying in their situation specifically was like fake memories or being
implanted. But
like,
you can do
that, especially the younger the kids are, the more you can do that.
Right. But let's just say that Cody was trying to stray the rest of the family from Mary when he decided he didn't want to be with Mary anymore. Let's just say that he wanted to. So then maybe when he was with McKelty, you know, something about Mary. Oh, well, you know, Mary was so mean to you all the time, telling you that you were dressing like a slut or a whore, whatever they say. You were this, you were that. Don't you remember all those times Mary told you to change your clothes?
Oh, and, yeah, totally.
You know, I mean,
you could totally see that.
Yeah, saying it enough that you start to think it was all the
time. Where you've got Cody on the other side saying, Mary, maybe if you suggest they dress a little more appropriate or you do that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
We know from now, the Rob and Cody kind of these most recent episodes, that there were these kind of conversations where people were doing that, those backdoor deals.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep, so, for sure.
Manipulation is in that situation with those ones. But the other three, the three OG ladies, their stories
pretty synced.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they
don't really sorry, but I think Janelle and Christine, if the abuse that has kind of leaked out there of Mary being that way to their kids, they would have been done talking to her before then, both of them.
Right.
I do not think they would have stood for it and just played on with it for the show.
No. Or at this point in time, especially today, they would have come out and said, due to our commitment to our faith and everything else, we turned the other cheek. But at this point, looking back, it really was more abusive than it should have been.
And maybe it is the kids looking for some of their 15 minutes of fame and their little bit of bag. Money or whatever for having their Patreons or whatever, because nobody's going to come to your Patreons if you don't have
tea,
some sort of tea, even lukewarm tea. You got to have something warm.
Yeah.
Ice cold tea.
Ice coffee.
Ice cold tea.
Bringing them in.
Right. So the whole episode, we're kind of alluding Cody's very first comment. I hope I'll be good with a fourth. Cody's got a big announcement. You know, they're teasing it. So we finally get towards the end of the episode and we've got Cody and Mary in the kitchen. And they're talking about, again, this big announcement. And, you know, Cody's got his arm around Mary, and they just, again, they just seem like such a couple. Like, so giggly, excited. Like they're bringing this in together. They're so excited to share this information with the family and with see how they're going to do. That's when I did write down the comment that all the kids were born after the three marriages, so they didn't know. And again, that's something that's being brought up now, but
they never knew what it was like to bring in another wife.
All of and right now in this episode, we're hearing comments be made that they're going to a plague school, so they've seen their friends go through the courting of a new wife or the bringing in of a new wife, but obviously they had never experienced. They had three moms from birth, and they have three moms now, so all of a sudden, there's going to be another one.
But all they know is we have three moms, and it's great.
Right.
We have attention. Right. There's always a mom available if we have a question or if we need something or whatever.
And we love all of our
and
siblings.
I wrote that down. I wrote down, the kids all seemed very excited about this.
Yes. And I think it was real excitement.
And
because
Christine, I did write down that Christine had presented some hesitancy because she said that if they had a new wife, she would need to be amazing.
Right.
For them to approve of this new wife, she would have to be amazing. So we're taking that at this point that they then agreed when they first met Robin that she was amazing. And they probably thought she's so strong and she's been through this and she's got these kids.
And she seems really nice.
And the kids were all very nice and polite and great.
And she seemed nice and polite.
And got along well with their kids and everything. Yeah. But I
did comment. So what happened to Robin?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things we want to see as we're going through this playback is where did Robin turn into a bad egg?
Right. Well, and again, I
did she turn into a bad egg?
Yeah.
Did everybody make her a bad egg?
There is this constant debate in the Sister Wives community, whether it be Reddit or the podcast you listen to. Is Robin a dim-witted fool or a simpleton that she did not see these things happening? She's that oblivious.
Aloof.
Or is she this master manipulator behind the scenes, pulling the strings, making it happen? And I still believe that she might have turned a blind eye to certain things, but I do think that she was a bit ignorant or naive.
I think
bulk of the weight still needs to be put on Cody, especially hearing all of
this. The bulk of the weight still needs to put on Cody.
Always.
But I do not for a minute believe she was complacent in it. I believe that she was complacent.
In Cody's favorite word, she's culpable.
Because if you look at the newest episodes where they're doing these look back, the looks on her face is the way she's rolling her eyes like this is beneath her. She can't believe she has to even look at this stuff again and go through it. She looks just pissed off from the get-go. She just sits there with the face.
But she also in it though calls Cody out on a bunch of stuff.
She does, and I appreciated
that she called him out.
She covers his mouth and she tries to call him out.
And then she's like, that's not what they're doing.
And you can tell how she walks on eggshells. I'm sorry I said that.
But again,
she
wants this money and this show to keep going.
It's so important. Because she doesn't have to work.
I'm just saying.
Cody really doesn't have to work without
the show.
So the
fact when he says these really rude things, it's taking away from the portrayal of what she and he were trying to show him as.
Right.
He is showing his true colors and she didn't want those shown.
Right.
And all he can do is apologize because I've been through three divorces.
Her puppeting isn't going on well.
Right.
But going back to
what's happening.
But going back to what Jill was saying about if she's like a simpleton or naive or mass manipulator or whatever, I lean more towards the naive side, only because, maybe not even because she's actually naive, but because she's coming from this background of this marriage that was broken, and that she doesn't want to have another broken marriage, so she wants to be more culpable, or she wants to be more agreeable, or she wants to follow and suit with what he wants and whatever,
and wants to
because
make him happy.
Because she wants, she doesn't want to, go through a failed thing.
And another
again.
One of her problems is she cannot divide her experience and the way that Cody is with her and her kids and all of that and see that he could be different with somebody else.
Right.
She thinks, well, if he's this great with me, then he's being that great with everybody and they just don't appreciate it. And that's not the truth.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, okay.
But I think that he could also be making it seem like he is being fair in that
regard.
Right,
but she should be able to see that's
going
on. I mean, again, you're a new wife
and
you love your husband.
And again, I think that's again, you're turning your
Now, you know you're being married into a plural situation, right? Which means that you know from the get, let's just say honeymoon is over, which, you know, she got a 10-day honeymoon. We'll get to there. But she had this beautiful honeymoon, and then she comes home. She's got to know that from the day she gets home, or even if he spends one night with her in her house that night, she's not going to see him for another 3 nights because he absolutely needs to go spend a night with Janelle.
At least
one
night with
Mary, and a night with Christine. Yeah. Has to. And at that point, the rotation should have started. And if it didn't, and Cody came knocking on her door 2 nights later, when it should have been Mary's night, wait, shouldn't you be with Mary tonight? Or what wife should you be with tonight? You were just here 2 days ago, honey. You're not supposed to be here. Oh, Mary had a lot going on, and so she told me that it didn't really matter, so I figured I'd come back here.
And I would tell
well,
her,
hello,
no.
Husband.
I would say, no, you know? Go back to her couch. Goodbye.
I mean... Looking down
I mean,
the
in
road,
the plural
that's
family.
Probably what she should have done.
But, that's probably
but he should have stayed at Mary's like, house to be with the child.
Well,
or
yes.
Robin's house. He, I
regardless
mean,
of the wife, yes.
Correct.
Right.
Regardless of the wife, he has
I'm sure
children.
There are plenty of nights when my husband would rather not be here with me. But here we are because I'm the only one.
Right. Yeah. Every now and then, like, Casey and I will joke about, he's like, guess I'm sleeping on the couch tonight. And the thing is we just, in our relationship and our marriage, and we've talked about it, like, we don't believe in that. We don't believe in going and sleeping on the couch or going and sleeping in another room. No matter how upset we are with each other, this is our bed. This is our bedroom. We can lay next to
we
each other. We're not
in
enemies.
Other rooms all the time.
You guys do.
But not
you
because you're angry.
And sleeping.
It's
because
people are trying
and,
to sleep. Not
well,
because you're mad.
I'll tell
you,
but Lester, 2 has, Lester has slept downstairs on the couch when he's been angry at me. But that he'll pout and then he'll stay there. And I'm like, oh, fine,
I've never
whatever.
Slept in a different room because I was angry.
But neither of us have ever, I'm going to say this, and that might pouting. Be different. It might be different, and obviously everybody's got their
but
relationship
but we
in their
all,
ways.
We all know Lester's a little bit like a
but
grumpy.
Yes, but I'm not punishing my husband, and my husband is not punishing me by saying, you're in the doghouse. You go,
and I,
here's
no,
your blanket. You
no.
go sleep on the couch.
It's
I'm
like
not sleeping
he's
with you tonight.
Punishing like a martyr.
Right. Yeah,
and
that's
and
different.
So I'm
right.
like... Fine, whatever. But no, most of our times that we sleep, we do it. Obviously, we have lots of vacations, but sometimes if there's a dog issue and I got to keep an eye on somebody because
oh,
they aren't feeling well.
That's
if
totally.
If somebody, and we are really good about doing the not, like if you're really sick and you're coughing and being
oh, yeah.
gross.
Again, all that, yeah. All that
you
is
just
different.
You just take it. I'll sleep on the couch where there's no gross.
Lord knows I've jumped in the car and headed to your house, Tracy, when things have been uh-huh. tumultuous at my house. Again, that's totally different. But guess what? I almost always come home, unless I spend the night. And then he knows about it. I don't just disappear. He knows about it, right? I mean, I'm going to Tracy's. I don't know if
and
I'll be home tonight.
And the
funny
thing is, even,
to other
the funny thing
house,
is
right?
even if she disappeared.
And it's not Lester.
Even if she did disappear, he would know right where she was.
Right?
Oh, there's only two places she's going to go. Her
right?
parents' house or my house.
That's right. And depending on how bad it is, he knows where I'm going.
I would only be found in one other location, and it would also be at your house, Mom.
See?
With
the same
that's where I would
there.
Be. And with or without the
with
kids,
or without
it depends.
The kids, it would depend on if she was also
depends
mad
on the
at
issue.
Because sometimes the boys will gang up with their dad, and then they're like, yeah, Mom, and whatever. And Alex, then it just frustrates me, and they're all picking
up. Like
on
when
me.
They're trying to move to Florida.
But, I mean, again, we're jumping ahead into future episodes yeah. when... Christine and Cody are first having issues, and he goes to Robin. Robin says, go and work it out with her.
Yeah,
and he says, well, she's kicked me out of her bedroom. And Robin says, then you sleep
on
the
her,
couch.
Then you sleep on her couch.
Like,
yeah.
it is your night at Christine's right. house. You need to go.
I do.
And he's like,
honestly,
no, I'm not going
to
do
it. I do honestly not believe that Robin wanted to end up being the only wife. I don't think
because
that
I don't think she really wants to be
do
with
I think
him
she
much.
Wanted to be the favorite wife
no
and,
matter,
the,
yes.
and the favored wife
right. of course yeah.
no matter
because
how dramatic
everyone would
want porch.
To be the favorite or favored wife who
yeah.
wouldn't want to be the
ugh,
favorite
right.
I want to be the favorite in every situation.
Lester's so lucky he's my favorite husband.
I mean, I truly believe Robin wanted to sit on the porch with her sister wives, but yeah. I really think, again, I'm still on the side of naivete. I think she didn't realize what she was doing was crumbling on the back end. I don't think she talked with the other wives
yeah.
enough, or she, you know, the relationships weren't built enough. Because
yeah.
again, we see, we're going to get to it in the episodes, but we see that her and Christine kind of have some things. But when she gave birth to Solomon, and again, Solomon was a little bit of a rocky, and they talked about that in the recent episodes, the look backs. Solomon was a little bit of a bump in the family because I don't know that everybody was quite ready for that.
Yeah, like the reaction to her announcement.
But when she gives birth to Solomon, Christine comes and brings this gift that she's needle-pointed that says, our family has grown by 2 feet and it's got 2 little blue feet on it. I feel like that's Christine giving the olive branch, trying to say, I want to be a good sister wife. I want this relationship to work. Let's do it. And if she was always getting the cold shoulder or Robin's always ignoring her, then what more can Christine do?
And then also it showed in a similar timeline when Solomon was a baby, like infant car seat, that her and Christine went out to a lunch and they were trying to talk about things. And it seemed like their lunch was going really well of like figuring out how to do this sister wife relationship.
Because I think Robin had followed through with anything.
Right.
Yeah. And that it could be a lot of lip service.
And is that, again, does that go to the, you know, for lack of better words, dim-wittedness?
Right.
Like, hey, just because you've planted the seed of friendship,
you need to go back and water it. But let's just
weed it.
But let's just say this. Is there also Cody in the background being like, why are you going to lunch?
He's the weed. She needed to weed it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think Cody caused issues.
Yeah, I don't know. But so the last few things I had written about this episode is Janelle felt like she had a personal witness that bringing Robin into the family was right.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, we talked about it earlier, but was getting kind of emotional about the fact that there are jealousy issues and her goal is to overcome that. Announcing it to the kids, all of the kids, and this is something Casey was like, wow, because he's like, wasn't at least one of them like, you know, and there was one that had questions. It was Mariah, right? Wasn't it Mariah who, I didn't write this down, but who was like, you know, so she's going to come in or how's it going to be? And you know, but otherwise,
it was a simple
explanation, but everybody was like, even Logan was sitting like right next to him was like, yeah. Cause Cody's like, you guys like Robin, right? Yeah. You like her kids, right? Yeah. And Gwen was a little confused and Christine kind of kindergarten teachered it up for her. Like
she was little.
There's a new girl who's going to be coming with our family and their kids and they're going to be part of it. Yeah. You're going to have another mom. And Cody's like,
what do you think about that?
Thanks, because I really wasn't sure how this was working until you explained it to me. That made me chuckle though, that like
we
got this little banter, right?
Yeah.
And everybody seemed pretty gung-ho at that point. So again, I feel like everybody at this point is going in with the bestest of intentions. I do believe the show was started with the idea that they wanted to show the world, a functioning polygamous family. I feel like at that point they were a loving, caring, successful polygamous family. I think, unfortunately, the way things developed down the road, the boat just kept rocking. And I don't know if that has something to do with TV or fame or money or just personalities.
Or the 8 million moves and then the COVID and all
that. But again,
let's say this.
You can blame moving all you want. I know that there were reasons for moves, which we'll discuss when it happens. But in the episode in Vegas where they're talking about moving to Flagstaff, or where Cody is like, we got to go here, you know, and he's given the financial reasons, which all never panned out. But I think it was Janelle, or anyways, one of the wives said, this is Cody's MO, because we had lived in Utah, we had gone to Montana, we had
Wyoming.
They were in Wyoming.
Because Janelle stayed behind.
Right.
Because she's like, I've got a good job.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're kind of figuring things out. So I feel like moving was commonplace, and they were still in this good place after many moves. But maybe they kind of felt like this is where they were planting.
I think the only person that liked moving was Cody until Dayton moved, and then Robin was in for that move.
Right. Very well could be.
Yeah.
I mean, but the only reason they went to Flagstaff, let's talk about their moves. The only reason they went to Flagstaff was because they felt like they were being persecuted in Utah. There was this lawsuit against
them.
I'm sorry, they went to Vegas. I'm sorry, yes. The reason they moved from Utah to Vegas was because there was this lawsuit and they were concerned that their family could be forced to be broken up. So they,
because
you know,
they, 'cause they've experienced that
again,
in their families when
the
they were kids.
The only person who wanted initially to move from Vegas was Cody. And was he able to get Robin on board quickly, or did Robin get him on board because of Dayton? But everybody else was happy and thriving.
In the cul-de-sac.
Right.
None of the kids were having problems. They all had great friends.
Not even
they
Robin's
were doing
kids.
Things at school.
Yep.
They had activities. They were part of clubs and all of these things.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they're leaving Logan, who just started college, to go now chase date into college. Or, I mean, right? I guess Logan had been there a couple of years, but still.
Well, and he was very much planted there because Maddie, of his long-term girlfriend.
Right. Yep. Maddie and Caleb had moved to town. Aspen and Mitch had moved to town. Right. All of them had come to Vegas to be with the family, and then moving to Flagstaff, that's when people said, we're not going to continue to follow you around all over the place. Maddie and Caleb ended up planting in North Carolina.
I remember in moving
Aspen and Mitch went back to Utah
with Maddie and Caleb when they were like, well, we'll move to Flagstaff. We'll get you moved to Flagstaff. And they were kind of like, you can't ever move where they're going
because you don't know, that
they're actually going to be there.
Right.
Don't look at me.
I'm giving it looks to my daughter. Because if I had it my way, I would live next door so that I could just get the grandbabies whenever I would do that.
I've tried to get you to move next door. But you won't do it.
Every time.
Closer to you too.
We talk about, like, she'll say, oh, there's a house down the street. And I'm like, oh, okay. But then her husband's like, oh, there's this house out here doing this and this, whatever. And
he made me go look at a house in Santan Valley in Johnson Ranch two days ago.
Oh, that's out where.
But it's also been no. It was a no because I said
please stop
no,
moving further away.
Honestly.
Right?
Then you're going to take me an hour to get to your house.
I got the solution. The next time they move, you buy their house. They'll give you a great deal. You'll be closer to me. You'll be closer to them.
I'll just rent from you.
It's a big enough house.
Right? Yeah, sure.
We'll fit everybody.
You can rent. You can buy. It'll be great.
I'll just rent from you. It'll be your second income.
Okay. Right? Well, except for we have to sell this house in order to buy a new house.
Oh.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yep, you can buy it.
Well, we can sell mine.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You're going to sell yours.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's one of two things. Yeah, one
sure,
of two
we'll
things.
Sell yours. You move in here. It's plenty
you
of space.
Just leave Megan and Mike there and let them continue pay rent. You come over here. I've got the whole solution.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
even if you had to bring them with you.
Yep. That is season one, episode one of Sister Wives.
And not a lot happens in this episode. It's just a lot of intro talking about them.
Right.
We talk about a lot of things.
Which we were discussing before this episode. Maybe on our very next episode, we'll do kind of an introduction of us. Because we haven't done it in a long time, and we've never done it with Alex. Just so that you guys can know a little bit more about us.
Yeah, or we could do I'll call it quick, but we could never be quick. But what if we just record a separate, with us?
That's what I said. We should record a separate little thing, and we'll post it. So it's just kind of
our background, our history, but
meet your podcasters.
Yeah,
the basement podcaster.
That's right. And then all you trophy podcasters out there, we want to know that you're listening. And I keep looking, and I haven't checked it today, but I will.
I know that people are listening. They tell me on TikTok that they're.
But we haven't gotten any reviews yet, at least on the Apples, because that's where I'm looking. No, and Podbean, because you can listen to us on Podbean.
We do have people that are looking on Spotify, so maybe we'll figure out how to check that. I still can't half the time find us there, but.
So, but.
And somebody said we were on Amazon?
Yep, I got us on Amazon Music.
Somebody said, ooh, I found you on Amazon.
I also believe we're on Stitcher. So I kind of tried to put it out there everywhere that was
if there's somewhere
was
that
easy.
We're not, that you would normally you, listen.
Right.
But
please
now
let
you're
us
forced
know.
To
maybe
listen
YouTube?
Somewhere else. Let us know.
I mean,
does
no.
YouTube Music do podcasts?
So, I mean, if we did YouTube right now because we're not videoing, like it would just be like a straight audio with like a cover.
I didn't know if they have YouTube Music, which is a music streaming service.
I don't know.
Actually, I'm not exactly sure how that works.
I only know that because I have YouTube Music.
Nice.
And I know there's podcasts on there, but I don't know if it's like because they also have like a video with them or not. I haven't listened to enough.
So yeah, I don't see anything new yet right now on the Apple.
So what she's saying is comment and review.
Yeah, please.
So we know you're there.
Please do or send us an email. It's allchaospodcast@gmail.com. Let us know a little about you, where you're listening from, what your sister wife's history is, because I'd like to know. Like, you know, are you a newbie following along with us and just getting all the tea at once?
You have no idea what we're talking about, but you just think it's funny to hear.
You're just like, I'm going to listen to these crazy people talk about crazy stuff.
Maybe they've been listening to us back from our, like, LuLaRoe podcasting days because they still subscribe to the feed because it's still the same.
We've just adjusted.
You know? Yeah, who the heck knows?
Yeah, there's somebody coming on for back when we used to do business tips for people.
Yeah, we used to do that too on this feed.
We used to do kind of a supportive one for our fellow
LuLaRoers
hard
when we
workers
did that.
That was never appreciated by that company. I'm still bitter about it. It was all free.
It was all free help that grew their business.
My anger gets...
Ooh, is it festering over time?
It just does. Yeah, I just get more angry with the way that they...
Her eye's going to start twitching here soon.
Right. But we have had podcasts.
MLM. That's what I think about it.
Right now, yeah. But we're you know, obviously Sister Wives right now is what we're excited about, and that's what we're recording about. And we if you're here for the Sister Wives content, we're going to give that to you. But if you're here for the other stuff, we want to share the other stuff with you too. Again, there was a gap in our podcasting just because life got in the way, but I was planning a Disney fairy tale wedding on Disney Cruise Line. Alex and Tracy were both there on the cruise at my wedding. Sure. So we definitely want to do a podcast in the future about kind of planning the wedding and about the trip. That would just be fun to do like a trip report, a wedding report.
It's all chaos. That's
coming.
Yeah, if you're following this podcast, it's all chaos. You're going to get a little bit of
you never know what you're going to get.
You know, we haven't updated you on my crazy family. You hear bits and
pieces. We're like wonky donkeys.
Right? So, anyways.
Life's like a box of chocolates.
Never know. Yeah, our podcast. Our podcast is like a box of chocolates.
Very well could be. But, so, anyway, so the next episode might be watching episode 2 or 3, or it could be a bit about us, or it could be both. We might have them both coming this week. So...
Anyway,
until next time, this is the podcast where chaos is always multiplied and never divided. Bye, friends.
Bye, guys.
If your life is so chaotic you don't remember, you've been listening to the It's All Chaos podcast.
To support Tracy, Jill, or get access to any products we've discussed on the podcast, visit our websites at officiallytracytime.com,
shopjillybean.com,
or shopthechaos.com. If you've enjoyed learning about our chaos, you can always leave a positive review on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you download your podcasts.
And if you would like to tell us about your chaos, you can always email us at itsallchaospodcast@gmail.com, and maybe we'll read your email on the show.
And remember, when life gets chaotic, it's okay to listen to the podcast in your closet with a Starbucks eating raw cookie dough.